All right. What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week we're coming at you with my pick of September. And I decided to choose a 2024 movie, one that a lot of people are talking about. We are both very excited to do this movie. But I think our thoughts may have changed a little bit. Anyways, I saw the TV glow. Not at all was that what I was expecting.
Neither. The TV definitely did something.
Yeah, it glowed a little bit. I steered away from any trailers and stuff like that, so I don't even really know what I was expecting.
Neither. I went on this pretty much totally blind.
Yeah, like I knew who was in it, and that was pretty much it. Like I didn't read a synopsis, I didn't watch a trailer, I didn't read any articles or anything like that or reviews. So it kind of took me by surprise a little bit, but we'll talk more about it later. Before we dive into this movie, though, we'll kick off our news and booze. What are you drinking tonight?
So I am drinking a Ole Cocktail Company non-alcoholic Paloma.
Okay.
They're pretty good.
Sounds good. I am also taking a non-alcoholic route tonight.
Nice.
I'm drinking a peppermint tea.
Peppermint tea. We've been doing this podcast for 5 years. I don't know if we ever had a tea down here, honestly.
I don't, probably not. Yeah, I don't know.
Nice.
My tum tum's a little upset, so I figured
All
I'd
right.
take it easy tonight.
Nice. Shopping will do that, so.
Shopping, eating some Jimmy the Greek.
Yeah.
It's kind of been a shitty weekend for food in general. We went to the fair yesterday.
Yeah.
Taking her easy tonight. What have you watched since we last spoke?
Let's see. Watched a new movie on Netflix called Rebel Ridge. Same guy that directed Green Room and Blue Ruin. Really liked the movie. Kind of reminded me of like a Walking Tall, Reacher kind of thing I was telling you. Really good. The main actor, it was amazing, and he actually played mid-sized sedan in Old and unrecognizable.
Mid-sized sedan in what?
M. Night Shyamalan's Old.
I don't remember that character
Really?
at all.
He's like the rapper character that shows up.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I didn't know that was his name.
Throwing Ghostbusters 2, because I need to finish that collection up. And then you and me have started doing this letterboxed kind of thing that has been going on for like 11, 10 years. It's pretty freaking popular, but it's
Yeah.
called a Hooptober. And my phone has been blowing up for the past like week of everyone commenting their list.
It's insane, dude. Yeah. I wish I could just silence the notifications.
But pretty much it's 31 movies, and he makes like different rules and stuff like this. So obviously you have to have a Tobe Hooper movie. He has on the list. It changes every year, but this year there's like I don't know. You have to pick a movie franchise that has four more movies, different countries, just whole different rules and stuff like that. So I started it to yesterday. First one to watch was Poltergeist from
Nice.
1982. Haven't watched in a while, but that movie kicks ass.
That's one that I've always wondered why we've never done
I know, right? Yeah.
it.
And then today, just I don't know, felt like watching a Paul Rudd movie, and I guess he was in this Night at the Museum. It's an all right movie. I have fun with it, you know.
Now that you've watched it, do you know who he is?
Yeah, he's like the husband or the new husband
Oh,
of
that's right.
Ben Stiller's wife.
That's right.
So I probably watched the other ones. I don't think I've seen the other the sequels to that movie, honestly. So
Yeah, I think I've seen the second one, but
yeah, but that's pretty much it. How about you?
I rewatched Dune because I have yet to see Dune Part 2. So I wanted to rewatch this one just as a refresher. Watching it on 4K, man, with like sound and everything, it's just so crisp and pristine. It's so nice to watch.
Is that your second or third time watching Dune?
Do the second.
Okay.
Me and the boys watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. I think this is like a
Nice.
fucking third time watch of that now.
Yeah.
But I don't mind. I love that movie. It's so good.
Hell
And then last night I watched Longlegs finally.
yeah.
I said, fuck it. I got the rental. It's $20, but I am tired of hearing about how great it is and not watching it. But I loved it, man. It's up there, like top five favorite movies this year so far. Now there's a lot of movies that I haven't watched that have come out this year, but yeah, this movie was so good. Like Nicolas Cage was phenomenal in this movie. And he's only in it.
Unrecognizable.
Yeah. And he's only in it for like what, 5 to 10 minutes, if that. Yeah, super good. Really enjoyed it.
What'd you think of Micah Monroe?
I thought she was great. I think this is like she was amazing in It Follows, don't get me wrong, but I think this is gonna be a breakout role for her.
More mainstream, right?
Yeah.
Because Watchers or Watcher was kind of a Shudder movie, right? So not
Yeah.
many people watch that one, but
I feel like this one has a lot more popularity than, like I said, Follows could have been a breakout movie too. I don't know. I just think that she really shone in this one. But yeah, not a whole lot of watched stuff, but it's the way she goes.
Cool.
All right. As for news, I only have one thing. Bloody Disgusting has confirmed that there's going to be a Creep franchise, or sorry, a Creep TV show coming to Shudder in November
Oh, nice.
called The Creep Tapes. And it look, yeah, Mark Duplass is coming back. It'll be a
Sick.
six episode series,
Nice.
premiering Friday, November 15th on Shudder and AMC Plus.
Nice.
So keep your eyes open for that.
Who?
4Ks?
So I realized no 4Ks this week because I think with us recording later on the last week, my weeks are kind of messed up. So I already read this week's technically.
Yeah,
So,
well, look them up yourself or go listen to our Triple X episode on Fury Road. All right, cool. Let me get my notes up. Okay. Like we said in the intro this week, we are talking about I Saw the TV Glow from 2024. Starting off with the very short and basic synopsis. Two teenagers bond over their love of a supernatural TV show, but it is mysteriously canceled. Now, if that doesn't make you want to run and watch this movie, I don't know what more they can do. But yeah, this is, I don't know. I mean, I guess they can't give away too much in the synopsis, but that is about as basic as it gets. This movie is directed by Jane Schoenbrunn. They did. We're All Going to the World's Fair and A Self-Induced Hallucination.
Whoa.
Have you watched We're All Going to the World's Fair?
It's been on my watch list for like 2 years now, so I have not. Have you?
No, I haven't either.
Yeah.
But yeah, same deal. Been on my watch list. The cast, we have Justice Smith, who plays Owen. Bridget Lundy Payne plays Maddie. Ian Foreman played young Owen. Helena Howard played Isabel. And Lindsay Jordan played Tara. I know I did five, but I couldn't do just Isabel, not Tara. Just
Yeah.
Tara, not Isabel. But we have some pretty cool honorable mentions.
Do we?
Yeah. Fred Durst plays Owen's stepdad or Owen's dad. Unrecognizable.
Yeah. Wow.
Does
Okay.
not look like him at all, but that was Fred Durst.
Okay.
Yeah. And Amber Benson, who played Johnny Link's mom, was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show.
She looked familiar. I've never seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but
Yeah.
she looks familiar.
But that's what the pink opaque was like. It had like it paid homage to Buffy.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of cool that they got one of the actresses in for that.
Yeah. I just want to talk about Justice Smith real quick. I feel like this guy has just blown up in the last like 3 or 4 years. Like he's in like some big blockbusters. Like he was in Detective,
Pikachu.
yep. The Jurassic World movies. At least
Right.
he was in Dominion, and I think the one before that. I guess he was in The Quarry, the video game, which I still haven't
Yes,
played, even though
he
I've
was.
bought it like 3 years ago. Dungeons and Dragons: Honor Among Thieves.
Yep. He was really good in that.
He was. And he's in a movie that came out this year called The American Society of Magical Negroes,
Oh. Okay.
which is a satire if you didn't get it by that name.
I assumed so.
Yeah. He's going to be in Now You See Me 3.
Okay. What do you think of him? Do you like him as an actor?
After this movie, I think he's fucking amazing.
So you did like his performance in this movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like before this, like he was okay. Like wasn't anything like, well, his roles he played wasn't like any like serious roles, right? It's kind of like comedic, but like not really comedic, just kind of playing like that guy kind of thing. But yeah. And then obviously, the girl in it, Bridget Lundy Payne, she was from Atypical.
She's really good too. I think like in
Yeah.
this and in Atypical, I think she's really good. I
Yeah.
haven't seen anything else that she's in, but
Yeah, me either.
off to a good start with her career as well. All right, did you, I'm assuming you didn't, but have any other honorable mentions? Because you seemed pretty surprised that I
Yeah, I
had any at
did.
all.
Yeah.
All right, let's kick off this movie discussion.
Alrighty. First of all, this movie starts off with some nostalgic ass 90s stuff that just brought back so many memories. We meet Owen. He's younger Owen, and they're in gym class and they're playing the parachute game, which was so fun and so cool. Just to see the camera inside the parachute, and it goes up and Owen's like looking around and stuff like that. At one point there's a Fruitopia drink
I
machine.
was hoping you're gonna bring that up. That thing was nostalgia for sure.
But yeah, it's going back and forth between younger and older Owen for the first part of the movie. You can see that he's kind of like a loner in school. He does have a friend, Johnny Link, who he never meets, but is one of his older friends. And he sees Maddie reading a pink opaque episode guide. And this immediately catches his attention because he's never actually watched The Pink Opaque, but I think to him it's like, what's that like kind of saying, like the hearsay, like you hear something is amazing, but you never, he's like living it through that book that she's reading, right?
And
Because he's
like,
so intrigued by it.
yeah, the only thing he's seen of it is the trailer, like the weekly trailer that they play for the new episodes that come out. It plays at 10:30 and his bedtime is 10 o'clock.
So she's reading this and he meets her in the gym and they start talking. You learn that he's in grade 7 and she's in grade 9. So she's a couple of years older. And so she gives him the book to look at. There's like pictures and stuff of every episode so far. And she's kind of like feels bad for him, like, you know, you're going to bed at 10 and it's at 10:30, you never get to see it. And she's like, well, what if you do this? And then he pretends to go to Johnny Link's to have a sleepover. And the one thing that frequently happens in this movie, which I did not really get, maybe it's like he's like a mama's boy or something, but in every single car ride, he is laying in the back seat. Like he's not sitting up normally, he's laying down with his face on the seat, like even as a younger Owen and even an older one when he's with was Frank his dad or a stepdad?
Think Frank was his dad.
Okay. Even when he's older and Frank's driving, he's still laying down in the back of the seat.
That's true. I noticed it as a child, but I didn't really think about it as an adult or like an older teen. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. Comfort thing.
Maybe. But she drops him off and he's going off the sleeping bag and she yells at him, do you have it, your inhaler? And he's like, yeah. So it kind of foreshadows a bit to the ending, because that comes into play later on. And he is going to Maddie to watch the show. She is there with one of her friends.
Amanda, I think her name was.
Baby. But he gets there and like it's very weird. I don't know. Like he's standing in the rain and she doesn't even like come let him in. He just has to walk in on his own and they're like kind of acting awkward and stuff. And then Amanda gets picked up to leave and they're watching the show together. And it's like only 30 minutes and it's like kind of like an awkward conversation because she's like, oh, like you're gonna go home now or something like that. And he's like, no, I told my mom I was going to sleep over. And she's like, okay, well, you can stay here, but you gotta be up by dawn or whatever. So he just like posts up his sleeping bag on the floor.
I love, he's like, where are you gonna sleep? She's like, my room, you creep. It's like just such a weird question. Well, we're in your house, but where are you gonna sleep?
So do you want to try and explain the concept of the Pink Opaque TV show?
Well, I already mentioned like it pays tribute to older movie or over older TV shows like Buffy. It's two friends that are connected like telepathically. They're on opposite sides of the county or the country or something. But they're telepathically connected by this little ghost tattoo that's on the back of their neck. And they fight evil forces that Mr. Melancholy sends down. And Mr. Melancholy is like a moon with a face, like Smashing Pumpkins, Tonight Tonight music video, and that old movie, fuck, I can't remember what it's called, something about flying to the moon. But yeah, he's got a creepy ass face, and he's constantly a trip to the moon, and he's constantly sending these evil beings down to Earth to take over the world, baby.
And there is other kind of minions for Melancholy. There is what are their names? Marco and Polo. And then there is the what's it
The
called?
ice cream man.
Something Lords. Something Lord.
Oh, the drain lords.
Drain Lords, Yeah, Spacer is a monster of the week, and a fucking ice cream monster was
Dude.
fucking creepy as fuck.
So creepy. I wasn't
Did
expecting it.
not I didn't expect it either. Because like in this movie, like the dialogue and the whole movie is very quiet. So like you have to fucking put the volume up, and then the fucking monster comes out of nowhere, fucking loud as fuck.
Yeah.
And then like later on there's like a music performance, and like the music is just like fucking screaming metal, and it's like super fucking loud.
Yeah. They actually filmed that at an actual concert too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, like those two bands are playing in a bar.
Interesting. So you do kind of learn that Maddie's stepdad is abusive, which may play a part of what she has going on. So I watched this movie twice. You watched it
Like one and a
almost
quarter.
twice, one to quarter. You did a ton of research on it. And this movie is pretty much about trying to accept who you are or decide, become who you're meant to be, right? Because we see Maddie at one point, I think he asked for another sleepover or something like that, and she tells him like, oh hey, like I'm into girls, just to let you know. And he's like, I wasn't even thinking about that. And she's like, do you like boys? And he's like, I don't know. And she's like, do you like girls? And he's, you know, I don't know, like isn't really on his thoughts. So
I love this line, the like, because he's like, I think I like TV shows. So it's just like the whole relationship thing and like sexual attraction and whatnot, it's just not even on his radar at all.
No, it's not. No. So pretty much Maddie, she knows that she is a lesbian or gay, whatever. And at one point, because this movie jumps ahead by 2 years here and then another 7 years. So the 2 years later, I think Maddie is starting to realize that she doesn't want to be female anymore. She wants to transition, I think, to a boy. So she does that, and pretty much Owen is on like the cusp. Like I think he knows that he may want to, because it reveals later in the movie that when they were watching Pink Opaque, they didn't just watch the movie, but they also tried on like each other's clothes, right?
Yeah, like Owen dressed up in a pink dress. 'Cause Maddie's favorite character in the show is Tara, and she's like, she's so hot and she's such a badass, I shouldn't take anybody's shit. And like you can tell that Maddie looks up to her as like a sort of role model, like this is how I want to be. I want to be like carefree, not worry about what other people think, anything like that. And then Owen is, I mean, it's two female characters on the show, right? So I don't know if he feels like he relates to Isabel or if it's if he's kind of just playing into Maddie's sort of fantasy of like them being these characters. But yeah, we see him dress up in the same pink dress that Isabel's in. And you can tell that he's uncomfortable at first. But then he kind of, I don't want to say like slides into the persona, but like he be increasingly becomes more comfortable in that version of himself.
So the movie does jump ahead 2 years later. You learn that Owen's mom has a health scare. I'm pretty sure she has some form of cancer, because she does end up dying later on in the movie. Maddie is starting to leave videotapes for him, because even though Owen is older, he still has the same bedtime. He is still very much controlled by his parents. So he still can't watch the TV show when it airs. So she has been videotaping all of these videotapes for him. And I really did love the style of this movie. especially the scene of him walking through the school, going to pick up the very first videotape. And I just love like the pink writing, like the marker writing on the screen of her writing on the screen everything that's happening in the videotapes on every episode up until he gets like caught up, basically, right? And I thought it was so cool.
And he tries to hide the fact that he likes this show from his dad mainly, because his dad's like toxic masculinity, like that show's for girls. Why are you watching that show? So like he watches it in secret, and anytime he hears his dad coming, he like panics and like pulls the videotape, the cassette of the VCR. And it's like a very secretive thing for him to be watching this show. And it's almost in tune with someone being comfortable in their own skin and being afraid to kind of relay that out.
And do you think that's why Maddie ends up deciding to leave? Because we see them watching one episode and the camera is like on both their faces, like from the side angle. You don't see what's happening in the episode, but Maddie just starts crying like uncontrollably. And like Owen just kind of looks like awkwardly. And then after the episode, Maddie decides, like, okay, I need to leave town. We're leaving. And Owen is kind of like, okay, where are we going? And she's just like, I don't know, we'll find it when we get there, basically.
Yeah, because like you mentioned, like she has an abusive stepdad. Obviously they live in a small town, so coming out is probably a lot harder. And it's the 90s, like
Yeah, her and
not a
Amanda
great
aren't
time.
friends anymore either.
Yeah, her and Amanda aren't friends anymore because Amanda spread rumors around the school that she tried to touch her tit. And yeah, so she's definitely feeling ostracized in the community, in school, in her home. So I think she just packs up and leaves and just tries to get a fresh start.
And so the next day he is like sleeping basically, and she comes down and like wakes him up, and like I don't know what the fuck was gonna happen when this was going down, because it's like all quiet. She like takes his shirt off and then she starts giving him the tattoo on the back of his neck, like they have in the show. But he doesn't want to leave. He ends up going to Johnny Link's house, and the mall answers, and she's like, oh, Johnny's not here. And he's like really flustered and like upset, but he basically says like, you need to tell my dad and apologize that to him that I've been lying to him the whole time when my mom was in the hospital, saying I was coming here to stay. I need to be grounded, basically is what he's saying, so Maddie, you know, can just leave or whatever, right? And then either that night or a few days later, Maddie ends up disappearing out of the blue. I think it was a few weeks, he said, I think. And all that was left was her TV set was in the backyard burning. And he never heard from her again. Well,
At the same,
yeah, 7 years later, she shows up or something.
And at the same time that she disappears, the Pink Opaque got canceled from TV.
Which I still don't really understand the connection between that.
Yeah, I'm not sure the significance of it being canceled, but I guess maybe because like that was their thing, so it's just ironic. I guess in a sense that
Yeah,
he's
because
gone now they
whenever
don't have that connection.
Maddie shows up 7 years later, she was saying that she's been living in the Pink Opaque for these past 7 years, right? Yeah,
Are
so
we
eight.
gonna start talking about like when she comes back?
Yeah,
I just
so
don't want to
eight.
jump ahead.
Doesn't really matter, man. It's all good. So yeah, 8 years. 8 years later, Owen is working in a movie theater now. Presumably, probably, I don't know, in his mid-20s, maybe. At this point, he's still very awkward and quiet. He catches his boss getting a BJ in the manager's office. and he is in like a, I don't know, alleyway kind of thing, and they're kind of like bugging him a bit, and he's still very like, it's almost like he has like Asperger's or like something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, he's super awkward, and you can tell that he's uncomfortable in the situation because the guy's
Yeah.
like, oh, I can put in a good word for you. Like, she thinks you're really cute, and he just
Yeah.
doesn't know how to reply
Yeah.
because he still doesn't have any of that on his mind, right? So I don't know if he's, yeah, I don't, is it asexual? I'm gonna use the wrong term, but.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so he's on his way back home from work, and there's this power line down in the street. It's going wild, and then he finds, I believe, the pink opaque book that she had whenever she was younger was like torn apart in the street.
Yeah, asexual, experiencing no sexual feelings or desires, not feeling sexual.
So then he's in the grocery store getting some groceries, and then there's a girl or lady behind him, and it's like just them in there, and lady with like short hair and doesn't look the same as Maddie did, and he's like, do you need help, lady? Like, what's going on? And she's just says, remember me? And he's like, Maddie? And you know, it's her. She, I don't think she's like fully transitioned, but like, I don't know, she's starting to accept who she is, right?
Yeah, and she even says to him, like, that's not my name anymore. Like, I'm not Maddie. I think she even says, like, Maddie died.
Yeah.
Does she give her new name?
No, I don't think so. I don't think
I
she
don't
ever
think so
does.
either.
But yeah, so now they're at a concert talking. She has to ask him some questions, and he's like, where the fuck you been the past 8 years? Like, everyone thinks you're dead. Like, does your mom know you're still alive? And she's like, I'll come out sometime and say all these things, but I have to ask you some questions. And she asks him, if he remembered the show that he watched in her basement, and he's like, of course, it's my favorite show of all time. And it kind of has these memories of him. She, because she says it wasn't only us watching the show, it kind of shows him in the dress and stuff like that. And so she's saying that she's been inside the show for these past 8 years. And yeah, I don't really know exactly what that means, right? Like, I don't know where she's been exactly. He kept all the tapes that she made for him. And then they watch, or she watches the final episode. Yeah, I don't know, just a lot of weird shit happens in the next like few minutes. Mr. Melancholy is like super fucking creepy, and like the Marco and Polo characters are like doing these weird dances, and I don't know, it's a bunch of weird shit. I just I don't know.
Trying to find, because there was an ex someone's explanation about where they thought Maddie was gone. But basically it was her going out, finding her true self. Learning how to be comfortable in her own skin, but I don't know how that intertwines with her being in the show.
So at one point too, Maddie tells him that she paid someone to bury her alive.
That's where it was, yeah.
And I don't know if it was, because the person you see getting buried alive wasn't Maddie, but it may have been one of the girls, maybe Tara, or one of the girls from the show, maybe.
Yeah, it was Tara because her heart got ripped out, put in a fridge, and then she gets buried. I think that is something what I saw, that like she was getting buried alive, but then like being reborn sort of thing, coming out of the grave, because like Maddie's dead, but then she comes out of the grave as this new person.
Yeah. And this whole ending is like so fucking weird. Like, Owen, So Maddie's taking Owen with her to go to the Pink Opaque, I guess, so he can become and accept who he is. And they're walking through like the football field, and they start at like the midfield, and then she like grabs his hand, and he like tackles her just out of nowhere, gets up and runs away. And I was like, "What the fuck?" But it's basically he doesn't want to accept who he really is. And then it goes on to show what kind of life he had as someone who pretended and bottled up everything that they had inside of them, right?
Conform to societal norms.
So we never saw her again. He says he works at the fun center now. His father passed away. He's now he lives by himself. And he has a family now, actually, right?
Does he?
Yeah, because whenever he throws away the TV and then he's taking in the big new
Well,
TV,
that's right, yeah.
he mentions that he has a family of his own. And
But we never see them.
no, we don't. But now he says that he can stream the show now because it's on whatever the streaming service, and he restarted the show, and he thought it was the stupidest fucking thing ever. Like he's like, this didn't hold up. Like it's so bad and not funny and weird and
Not scary.
not scary. So yeah.
So a lot of people were saying that, like, with him staying in the town that he grew up in, he never had the opportunity to continue on with his like childhood love and stuff like that. Like the town that he stayed in just kind of beat him down and forced him to grow into not the whole toxic masculinity thing, but he lost that nostalgia type feeling with the show. And like now he's a grown adult and he's miserable with his life. So he's lost that love for the show and for anything from his childhood. And like they even show like a clip of the episode that he's watching, and it's completely different than what we saw from the episode at the beginning. And yeah, like it's awful, and it just is nothing like he remembers it being.
I love that they have the Mr. Melancholy arcade game at the Fun Center. So yeah, it's 20 years later. He's still at the Fun Center. Looks old as fuck, but also not old at the same time because
Yeah, he just looks
it's the
awful.
same actor. He just has really bad asthma, can barely fucking walk, and
Really chapped lips.
chapped lips just look miserable as fuck. And another thing, like, I don't know, it just this movie is just weird, man. I don't know. So he's in a birthday party and he's in like the corner. And then out of nowhere, he just starts screaming and crying, and everyone around him stops. Like no one is moving, right? They're like kind of frozen. And he just keeps saying, like, I'm dead. I'm dead. Like, this isn't me and stuff like this. So he's kind of finally breaking down, right? After fucking what, 40 years or whatever it is. And then he's in the bathroom and he's like spitting up this blue liquid. And
The
then
Luna
he.
juice.
It's what?
The Luna juice from the
Luna
show.
juice. Oh, yeah. And then he's laying on the floor and there's like a box cutter knife. And he just starts opening his chest up, and inside of it is like the glow of a TV. And he's like looking in the mirror and he's kind of like smiling at himself. So like, yeah, I don't know. Then he leaves the bathroom and just like walking through the fun center, and he's just apologizing to everyone, saying I'm sorry, and that's pretty much it.
So the ending, whenever he cuts himself open, so there's one point in the movie where he's walking down the street, and it's the same street from the very beginning of the movie. And it's got like chalk drawings all over it, and we see the little ghosts and all that shit from the show. But then this other time, it says there's still time on the pavement, but he just like walks right by it. So people were saying that like him cutting himself open and seeing the TV was like him opening himself up and seeing his true self, because like it's bringing back that, and like there's still time and you can still kind of change and be who you were meant to be. And
So he's
then
literally opening up.
whenever we see him walking out, he's got a little bit more pep in his step. He's apologizing to everybody, so he still has that anxiety, but it almost looks more like he's come to terms with everything, with who he is and who he needs to be. It's a very, very confusing movie if you don't catch these things, and like I didn't catch them very much in my first watch. It like I told you, I've been like reading articles and watching videos of this for a couple days now, and like I'm getting a lot of information, and while I'm watching this stuff and reading this stuff, I'm like playing it through my head, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, a lot of it makes sense now, and it's helping me get a better understanding of the movie. And like I haven't stopped fucking thinking about this movie since I watched it the other night. But yeah, it's a movie that I feel like you need to watch once and then follow up after doing, like, I don't know, watching explanations, seeing people's interpretations of it. Because it is like Jane Schoenbrunn did say, like, that they made this movie as sort of like a coming out story, not necessarily their coming out story, but in that vein, like in that realm of it being somewhat of a coming out story for the trans community. And that's what, like I said to you, like I think this is a very important movie for people, but like I couldn't relate to it necessarily. I don't think you could either, but it is a very important movie for people to watch, I think. And I like when I picked this movie, dude, like I had no inkling of an idea of
I
what
know,
this was
yeah.
about or anything like
Me
that.
too.
And we watched it, and I was researching it, and I was like, fuck, man, like we need to, I don't know, get our bearings on it, I think.
For sure. But
Yeah.
anything else? All
I don't think so. I don't think so.
right. Well, that's the way the ice cream splatters.
Nice. Okay. I did peek your score on Letterboxd, so I'm interested to see how you
Which
break it
one?
down. Your second one. I don't think you put a score on your first one.
Not the initial time, but I did put my initial score again when I did this one. So,
Yeah.
all right. Know how to rate this movie, honestly. I just rated it based on my experience with it. So, story, I'll give it a 2 out of 10. I just didn't not connect with this movie at all. The first time around, I didn't really catch all of the meaning and messages in it. I just thought there was just too much weirdness, and I thought the pacing was really bad. Like, I'm pretty sure I fell asleep for a few minutes my first watch, honestly, near the end there. I just thought it was really boring. The dialogue just, it's so low and they're barely talking that it's hard for me to pay attention. Like, I have ADD, so like if a movie does not catch me or is boring me, like so the characters, I did enjoy the two main characters, Owen and Maddie, a bit, but just not a movie for me. Quality, I'll give a 4 out of 10, I guess. I thought like the editing and the directing and The cinematography and like the practical effects and all that was really good. The acting was fantastic. But I just didn't enjoy this movie at all. So 2 out of 10 and a 4 out of 10.
All right, that's fair. Yeah, I definitely agree that this is one of those movies that's going to be very divided. It's for some people and it's not for other people. On my initial watch, my scores were going to be a lot lower than this, but my story, I gave it a 6 out of 10. I think it's a very unique way of creating a coming out story. It's not in your face. There's like little pieces here and there that you kind of have to pick apart and put together. Like this movie's a fucking puzzle for sure. And I like that about it, but on my first watch, I had no fucking clue what was going on. It was just a very confusing mess to me. It was like trying to do a puzzle with the pieces flipped upside down. But after learning more about it and seeing other people's interpretations of the story and whatnot, it's definitely bumped up. I am going to finish doing the second watch of it. Like I said before, I'm only like a quarter of the way through a second watch, but I do plan on finishing it. And just, I don't know, putting more of the pieces together. Quality, I gave it a 7 out of 10, man. Like
All right.
this, Justice Smith and, Bridget Lundy Payne, I think they were absolutely phenomenal in this movie. Justice Smith, especially, like that end scene when he has his mental breakdown, man, like that is fucking acting. Like that guy went crazy. And like the creature designs, the ice cream man and Marco and Polo, I don't know. I think it was really cool. I loved the cinematography. I love the nostalgia, like how they're able to get so many of those old pieces from the 90s and kind of explode them all over this movie. I love the neon look, like the bright pinks and purples and greens and blues. I don't know. The cinematography in this was really good. And the soundtrack, I love the soundtrack.
Yeah, true too.
But yeah, it's not necessarily a fun movie. It's kind of
No.
a sad and depressing movie,
Yeah.
but very visually appealing. And all right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus, with a distinctive visual aesthetic that enhances its emotionally resonant narrative, I Saw the TV Glow further establishes writer-director Jane Schoenbrunn as a rising talent. So based off that, what do you think the critics scored it?
Say like a 89.
84
All right.
on 217 reviews and an average score of 7.7 out of 10. Audience score, significantly less, with a 52% on 500 ratings and an average score of 3.5. Or 3 out of 5 or a 6 out of 10.
All right.
This is definitely very much a critic's movie. So I can understand that. I thought the audience score was going to be a little bit higher than that, but not so. What's Letterboxd have for us?
So Letterboxd has a 3.6 out of 5. My initial watch gave it a 1 out of 5. And my second watch gave it a 1.5. Just not for me. Mark gave it a 3 out of 5. Screaming Cinema, 3.5. Anthony gave it a 4 out of 5. I thought.
Jensen, I think you said give it a
Oh
four.
yeah, 4 for Jensen as well. That's it.
All right. So overall, not terrible scores, except for you.
Except for me, yeah.
All right, you ready for the scare section?
Yes, sir.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah.
Right, what'd you give for a scare rating?
I give it a 1 out of 10. Just this movie's Honestly, a drama. It's not, I don't even really know why it's tagged as a horror, honestly. But you know, it is what it is. So 1 out of 10. Scary scene. I mean, I'm gonna go with Marco and Polo dancing because it's like these bearded ladies that like doing these fucking hand movements. I don't know, it's
Yeah,
just weird,
like
very
weird
odd.
contortion.
Yeah. And would I survive? I mean, yes. You know, I'd love to try and smash my head through a TV, though. That'd be pretty fun.
Oh yeah, that'd be a blast.
Yeah.
Especially one of those old tube TVs.
Yeah.
Things are tough. That was another thing too that I wanted to bring up. Because somebody I saw mentioned that. I'm going way back to our movie discussion, but at one point Justice Smith smashes his face through the TV and he's
Yeah.
like trying to go into the Pink Opaque and his dad stops him from going in. So I
Yeah.
think that was a good imagery of him, of his dad stopping him from being his true self.
Yeah, true.
He's trying to go into the show like how Maddie said that she did, but he's being pulled back.
But I mean, in Frank's eyes, it looks like he's trying to kill himself, you
I
know.
mean, yeah. Yes, it does. My scare rating, I give it a 2 out of 10.
All right.
I said this is more of like a true life horror in quotations that has some horror imagery to it. Some people may find it scarier than others if they can relate to the other underlying subject content more. But as for a horror movie, by definition, I think it definitely lacks in scares. Scary scene, I said the ice cream man.
Yeah,
That
I figured.
dude. That thing was fucking
Yeah.
terrifying, man.
I thought you might have picked a clown too.
Yeah, but nah, the ice cream man fucking drooling out melted ice cream and shit. It's like,
Yeah.
ah.
It's fucking huge too.
Yeah. I also said Justice Smith's like mental breakdown. It's,
Okay.
it
Yeah.
was like you felt for him in that scene. I feel like that's like
Yeah.
more like the true life horror. It's just like a terrifying experience that he went through. But I mean, that he did kind of come out on top after. But, and yeah, would I survive? I mean, there's nothing to really survive for me in this one. So,
Yeah.
yes, I will.
All
All right. Your turn to pick our next movie.
Well, we talked about it today, right? Because it would come
Oh,
out.
yeah, I guess it would. Okay. Yeah. You're right. Okay. So our next episode will be coming out in October. And as always, we do an October themed special type thing every year. Are we going to say what we're doing?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
All right. So for the month of October, in two episodes, we are going to be breaking down the Haunting of Hill House TV series in its entirety. So the first episode of October will be episodes 1 through 5, and then second one will be 6 through 10.
Yes, sir.
I'm excited because I haven't watched the show in a while, and
Me too.
it's so good.
I was gonna try and rewatch it this year anyway. So it's been a few years since I've seen it, so you know, what better way?
Exactly. Right. Yeah, I thought we still had another episode that was coming out before then.
All good.
So, yeah. Come back in 2 weeks where we'll be talking about episodes 1 through 5 of The Haunting of Hill House.
Yes, sir.
All right. In the meantime, if you guys want to catch us on social media, you can find us at a podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And if you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our T Public account where we have our merch. There's also a link to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. We have plans to start posting more on Patreon because we lack in that department very
Say
much.
that again.
Yeah. So hopefully in the next couple months we'll start pumping some shit out on there. But yeah, we have Discord server, a lot of jazz. It's all in the link. We don't use our Discord, so don't even bother going to it. We're just on everybody else's. It's fine.
It's true. Yeah. All right. Well, talk to you a couple weeks.
See you later.